New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Really quick, let me just introduce myself. As you know, I'm Digital Adele from Hoops Profile. I break down draft picks all year round, follow the rookies throughout the NBA. This is the 2025 NBA draft class that we're going to be breaking down. The goal this year is to do 60 plus prospects in terms of draft evaluation. That means film work, not just watching them, but that for me, that means film work. That's breaking down specific plays, parts of their game, fundamentals of their game, what they need to improve on, what can translate to the NBA, and what can do better. So that's what I do over at Hoops Profile on YouTube. I've been doing that for several years now, and you can find me on social media under Digital Adele. Find me in the Discord where you're at right now, obviously under Digital Adele, and anywhere that our content is at, you can find me with that. Also, we got my co-host here, Matt Hannafin. Tell him about yourself, Matt.
I'm what you call a casual. I'm just, but no, you can find me at MPH _824_ on Twitter. I'm not as extensive as Dell when it comes to breaking down prospects. You know what they say, a broken clock is right twice a day. That's how I kind of go, but I'm just kidding. But anyway. Yeah, man, I'm ready to talk some draft. I really don't have much to say about myself. This is like the worst introduction, first impression.
That's all right, man. No worries. No worries. That's fine. You are. So let me tell you a little bit about Matt real quick before we get into the draft. He's actually very educated on what makes players functional, what makes a good prospect. He's just very modest. So we got to get Matt's confidence up in his draft analytic ability. Make sure you let him know after this how you feel and comment on the videos about these takes. So what we're going to do, we're going to go in reverse order from 10 to 1. I'll give one of mine, and then I'll let Matt talk about one of his, and I'll alternate between the two drafts on the screen is what I'll do. So real quick, give me a thumbs up emoji in the chat if you know, you can see the draft content that I have showing on the screen. Can you view it? Is it clear? Is it pixelated? How does it look for you? Just quick thumbs up if it's good, thumbs down if it's bad. And yes, Diego, Tyrese Hunter is lighting up UConn. So is Haggerty. Haggerty is very good. Hunter's actually been very good throughout that game.
All right, cool. We can get to, in a minute. We can get to who hasn't been good.
Yes, I believe we will. I believe we will. So let's just get started. So we're gonna get rolling here, and So I'm gonna start off with my 10th overall pick in the 2025 way too early mock draft that I did, and he is one Asa Newell. 6'10", 220 pounds from the University of Georgia. He is an absolute freak athlete, man. When it comes to being explosive, blocking shots, sliding his feet, he's a freak athlete, man. I really like Asa Newell's game. He's got a little bit of range. He's still working on his jump shot. It's not a finished product by any means. Ball handling isn't there quite yet. The fundamentals aren't there quite yet. He has a nice jump hook over his right shoulder using that left hand, but he's got to work on some more of the fundamentals on the low block, but he can certainly do a lot for a team already, in my opinion, with his length, his athleticism, his ability to get on the glass, block shots, put back dunks. If this kid gets that ultra competitive edge, watch out, he could be a problem at the next level in the NBA. So that's my 10th pick. In our way too early mock draft.
He was 10 on my board, too.
Awesome. I can't wait for you to get a chance to talk about where you put him. A matter of fact, we can do that. Where did you put him on your board?
No, I had him at 10.
Oh, you had him also.
I had him in the same spot.
Oh, I love it whenever a draft analysis comes together. I like it. What did you like about him? Tell me a little bit about your perspective on Asa Newell.
I mean, at the point, you mentioned the athletic. That's something that immediately pops off the page. Just a couple things that I want to see him improve specifically. To me, he just gets out physical too much for my liking. And I know he's young, and I know he's it says on the screen 220 pounds. Like, he's got to get to be an NBA caliber big, specifically with the traits that he has, he's got to get stronger. That's just that's number one for me, because I feel like when you get backing down in the post or whatnot, he's just not as strong. And so that's something that I want to see him improve. But the other thing that I want to see him improve is really his shooting. Like, I think he needs to he doesn't need to be a more functional spacer, but I just want to see him continue to improve that shooting touch, specifically from the mid range, and then as time goes on, expand further out, because I think he's kind of the size to where I don't know if I trust him defending NBA caliber big, NBA caliber fives quite yet. I think there needs to be work there. But I also don't know if he's do you think he's quick enough to defend fours consistently? And I think if the answer is yes, then I think he will probably need to expand his shooting range, because he's kind of that tweener. Remember Tyler Smith?
Yes.
The guy from D League Ignite? That's kind of where I'm at with him, just in terms of the body and the frame. I know they're two different players in terms of their skill sets, but that's kind of where I see him right now. But I do think there's a lot of potential there. He's very good around the rim. He's a very good vertical spacer. He's not a bad rebounder. He's solid in that department as well. And so that's kind of what I like about him initially. I think you've watched more room than I have. Obviously, when we do these, I've only watched these guys maybe, one or two games, and it's very early in a long 30 plus game season for most of these guys. And so there's obviously a whole lot of time for these guys to, improve their skill set. Imagine if we talked about Eve Meese at this time last year. It would have been a completely different conversation than what we had in, May, June. There's still plenty of time for all of these guys, including Asa, to improve. But those are just a few things that I liked about him, and those are just a few other things that I want to see him improve upon as time goes on.
Absolutely. You hit on a great point about him needing to get stronger, and he needs to get stronger, particularly in his base. His legs are really thin, but he's explosive. That'll come, though. He's super young. He's a freshman. The stats on this Fanspo page say he's 6'11", 220, but he's closer to probably 6'10", 200 even. I don't think he's 220 personally. But he will get stronger. I think he has the mobility and the fluidity to be able to guard wings at the next level. I think he can do that. He has very good tracking, very good timing on his shot blocking. He stays down, doesn't really get in foul trouble. The one thing about his shooting that needs to improve is his follow through. He has this funky release where he shoots a knuckleball out of his hand. And that's what really is, I think, the crux of his issues when it comes to shooting the ball. But overall, he's got nice lefty form. I think he's on balance. He doesn't really fade away or lean left or right. It really is more of how the ball comes off his hand, in my opinion. And I think that's something that definitely he can smooth out. And also, as you mentioned, he's very young. By the end of the season, he could look completely different, just like Eve Meese did by the end of his college season. So he could absolutely climb on this board, depending on how he develops, how he continues to shape his mindset in terms of aggressiveness. It'll be very interesting to see how that progresses. So moving on to number 9, I had France's own Nolan Traore. He's a excellent point guard, man. He's really, really good, man. I don't know what they're doing over in France. I don't know what they put in the water, but they are churning out the prospects. He's about 6'4", 185 pounds. He can shoot the rock, man. He can facilitate. He's quick, crafty around the basket. I like him, man. I like him a lot. What's going to be interesting to see, and what I've found is typically the case with these French prospects coming in, outside of Wimby, who's a freaking alien, how they translate in perimeter defense. Like, how are they going to fit into a defensive system? If you take a look at Zachary Reyes-Cher, his best ability on the defensive end coming out of Europe was his off-ball defense and being able to play team defense. Traore is going to be able to do that, but how is he going to hold up point of attack, especially being only 185 pounds? It's going to be very interesting to see how he holds up. I know you didn't really scout any international guys, but who do you have at number nine?
I have VJ.
VJ, Edgecrombie.
Yeah, I have him nine.
There he is.
He is so insanely athletic. Like, it's crazy how athletic he is. The one thing that popped out to me, I watched his game against Tennessee this morning, and that was the most extensive tape that I at least have watched on him so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that stuck out to me was, like, I just love his instincts defensively. I think he moves his feet really well. Like, there were times, especially early in that game, like they were switching one through five for the most part, but for him specifically, like, there were certain actions and certain times where he was, like, jumping out, like, he was, like, jump switching, and he wasn't going super early to where, like, you know, the opposing ball handler was like, splitting the double,
right,
or anything like that. And then with him, like, he wasn't really involved in the offense, but when he was, I didn't hate some of the decision-making that he had. But the problem is that the crux of the issue is, like, the percentages are just so bad. Like, the shooting is not good. Like, he was getting downhill against Tennessee, at least to some extent. But, like, just the shooting in general has been bad to start the season. It's like sub 40%. He's shooting like 29% from deep. And then you look at some of his games where, I know Bartorvik, which is like an advanced analytics, like, college basketball site, they track, like, how good you are versus, like, certain caliber of teams. Like, they have, like, a top 50 metric or something, like how you're doing against, like, top 50 teams. And he has, like, an effective field goal percentage. It was, like, 37% with, like, a true shooting of, like, 30. Like, the shooting's just been bad. It's been really, really bad.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a problem as time goes on if that's not corrected, just because, like, more teams are going to be ducking under screens. More teams aren't going to allow him to get downhill. And for him as, like, a playmaker, not saying he's a great playmaker because he's not, but, like, his potential as a playmaker, that, you know, the ceiling of that dwindles if you're not a good shooter. And so, like, that's something that's going to have to be corrected. And then in addition to, like, there are just certain times where he just doesn't know how to control his athleticism. Like, sometimes he's going 100 miles an hour and he's trying to jump out. He's trying to dunk on dudes, like, you know, 5 feet from the rim. And it's just like, I don't know if that's necessarily the best idea. Like, he can hone that in a little bit. He's still, you know, very young. And obviously all of these guys, or at least for the most part, are very young. And so, again, like, this is their first time playing this, you know, playing college basketball where the spacing may not be as good. Maybe he excels a little bit more at the NBA level. But I just wasn't very impressed with what I saw offensively for the most part, because, again, like, he wasn't super involved with the offense. But defensively, I loved what I saw. Like, I think he's a very good weak side rim protector. I think he uses his hands very well. Like, I think he's someone, like, sometimes he gets a little too handsy, but I think he just uses his hands well, like, to, you know, generate deflections and get steals and block shots. And, like, I think he has solid dexterity. I think he doesn't look like the biggest guy in the world, but I think he is, like, sneaky, like, very strong when he's on the perimeter defensively. So those are just some things that I liked about him. But the reason why I had him so low is just the offensive concerns. Cause, again, like, against some of these good teams, like, Tennessee was probably his best one, I would imagine. But against some of these good teams, like, this just, it just was not good on that end. And I don't know if I can have him in my top eight or my top set or, like, whatever, if he's just that bad offensively. I don't know.
Well, it's very early in the season, but you bring up a great point that the talent is higher than his actual production on the court at this point. there's a number of reasons for that. I don't think he's 6'5". I really don't. I think he's closer to 6'3". He doesn't look to be as tall as they're making him out to be. I think he's going to excel better in a more open environment, an open floor environment, because as you mentioned, he is uber athletic. And we're talking about VJ Edgecombe for people that just joined us. And for VJ, I put it this way. It was like somebody first learning to drive, but that first car was a Dodge Charger Hellcat. And that is VJ Edgecombe. He doesn't really know when to use his athleticism. He doesn't know exactly how to use it. He just knows he's really, really athletic. And that's where a lot of his problems stem from. So if you watch him play, he puts himself in a lot of bad positions, takes a lot of bad driving angles to the basket, and like you said, just tries to out-athletic people. And that's not going to work. He's got to really focus in on the details and learn. They have great coaching staff at Baylor. So if he commits himself to it, he can definitely improve as the season goes on, which I expect him to do. 37% from the field, not going to cut it. Very encouraging, though. 3.5 assists, 6 rebounds, 12.5 points per game, even while he's learning. But the turnovers, he turns the ball over a lot, doesn't quite know where to go with the ball. The mental side of the game, the fundamentals of the game are what's lost on him. His shot overall, he has a nice looking jump shot. Again, it's just when to shoot, where to get your shots from. Within the flow of the offense, I believe is his biggest issue. I have him higher on my board. I had him 7th on my board, strictly because of the upside, age, and athleticism of the player.
Okay. No, I mean, like, I do like how he impact winning in the sense of, like, he's going for rebounds. He's, you know, he's playing defensive, like, even when his shot isn't fun. Like, that's something that I do appreciate from him.
He plays hard all the time. That's the other thing. Plays hard all the time. So with that, let's move on to my next pick on my board. That was Kamon Malawach. I watched him a lot in the Olympics, and I watched probably 3 games of his so far at Duke. And he's 7-footer, 240 some odd pounds, long arms. He's a cerebral player. He's a very cerebral, smart player. He has nice footwork on the block, has a nice jump hook. He has more athleticism than I believe he even realizes. If he was more aggressive, I think he'd be even higher up on my board. But he just isn't. He isn't aggressive. He plays closer to the floor a lot of times than I think his athleticism gives him, you know, allows him to. He could play a lot higher above the rim. That being said, he still averages 6.5 rebounds so far in this early season. And, 9 points per game. And that's with Con Knuppel demanding the ball a lot. Knipple. And then, obviously Cooper Flagg commands the ball a lot. So
Cooper, who?
I'm not sure. Never heard of that guy. And then also they have Tyrese Proctor on that team. So he just doesn't have a lot of opportunities to, you know, he has to go get his opportunities. But he also sets good screens. He's a good screen setter. Coming out of last year's draft, there was a lot of bigs in that draft. Not all of them were good screen setters. Like Edie, just by the nature of Zach Edie being a behemoth, he could set screens, but he wasn't a good screen setter. Didn't always take the best angles. Wasn't always quick enough to get there. And then, you know, you had somebody like Eve Meese, who was a very good screen setter. And then there's someone else named Kalel Ware, who struggled. Where is he, by the way? Where is Ware?
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is. Where is he?
Where's Kalel Ware? But anyway, yeah, he wasn't a very good screen setter coming out of college. That's one thing Malawach does very well. He sets screens well. He rebounds. He's tough. He's got quick hands. But he's more athletic. He needs to use his athleticism more, in my opinion. So that's who I had 8th overall. Who did you have at number 8, Matt?
Oh, I just want to point out that I did have Malawach 7. He's, to me, he's just gigantic. Like, I don't 7'2", like, I don't know what his measurables are going to be once the season ends, like what his wingspan, standing reach, all that stuff. But I feel like it's going to be towards the top of the class. Like, he, to me, he's just a gigantic human being. I liked, to me, like, he's improved, at least from the games that I've seen. Like, I watched him against Army, and then I watched their game against, who did they play? They played Arizona, right?
Arizona, yep. Yep, Arizona.
My mind's, like, blanking on me. To me, he's improved defensive, like, just how to position himself and drop. And, like, something that Sean Shire's doing is, like, they're also playing him higher up, like, toward the level of the screen. And, like, at certain points. And I think he's, for him being 7'2", like, I think he's pretty mobile for someone, and he's pretty nimble for someone who is 7'2". I know, like, he's another guy who I just like how he, again, I don't know how long he's been playing basketball, but he's a guy, like, he knows how to play in the pick and roll. And I think for him, like, he's someone that has really good hands. Like, he's still the raw in his game. Like, he doesn't have much of a role outside of, you know, being a screen and roll, like, that kind of big. But I have been impressed with what I've seen so far, because I didn't know much about, like, I didn't watch him in the Olympics or anything like that. But he was someone who I've been, like, pleasantly surprised by, in addition to Knepel, and then obviously with that Cooper Flag guy, whoever that guy is.
That guy, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he's, yeah. Apparently someone said number one pick. I don't, maybe.
We'll see. I guess.
As we go on, we'll see. But someone, he's someone that I've liked watching a lot so far. And, like, he may not need to be super duper athletic for just how big he is. Maybe I'm just overstating how big he is, but he may not need to be, like, crazy athletic.
Well, but,
like, I do think there is some athleticism there, but
there is. But he's not Donovan Klingeth big, and he's not Zach Edey big. He's big, but he's not that big. So I think he's going to have to use his athleticism more if he wants to move up the big board. You see what I mean?
Like, fair.
Scouts are going to want to see that. GMs are going to want to see that. They're going to want to see you dominate at the college level to get into that top five if that's where he wants to be.
That's fair. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, him at Duke, all that talent, can they put it all together? And will he be able to showcase more of that defensive prowess, as you mentioned, being able to play a little bit higher on the perimeter, play at the level, so to speak? And then, you know, can his drop coverage and weak side shot blocking continue to shine, which it has? He's been very good. Like I said, I just think he's a very cerebral player. He's a very cerebral guy that thinks the game. Let's see. Number 7, I had Edgecrombie. And number 6, down a few spots on my big board, is Con Knipple. He is the guard also from Duke that I spoke about earlier. He is approximately 6'5". I know they have 6'7" on here. I don't think he's 6'7". I think he's like 6'5". But he's all of that 217. He's a sturdy player. Like, he's solid, man. People cannot take advantage of him on the post. He's got really quick hands. He's got a nose for the ball. He's always around the ball. Whenever you talk about heat culture and taking charges and diving for loose balls, he is the epitome of heat culture in terms of diving for loose balls, being in the right position, playing team basketball, making the right plays. This kid is a knockdown, flat out shooter as well. Absolutely can shoot the cover off the ball. Really surprised at his ability to take people to the basket out of the triple threat position. He isn't, like, going to wow you with his ball handling, but he's just very savvy, has an excellent feel for the game. And he'll also surprise you. He's got a little bit of vertical athleticism. He'll dunk on your head. I like the kid, man. He's been very impressive to start the season for the Duke Blue Devils. Have you watched any of Con Knipple?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, he's an awesome shooter. Like, he's very, something that I like about him is, no matter what, it's always very consistent. You know, you're getting, like, it's the same shooting form. It's the same shot mechanics. Like, it's all, like, you want that consistency, whether he's moving, not moving, whatever the case is. And I am with you. Like, one of the things I had in my notes toward the top was, like, he has a nose for the ball defensively. However, I do have some concern, or at least not, maybe not concerns, but questions about, like, how is he going to handle that in an NBA setting? because I don't know how laterally quick he actually is.
100% right. You're spot on with that.
Like, that's where it's like, I love him getting in people's jerseys. I love the nose that he has for the basketball. But like, my biggest question with him is just how he fares athletically on the defensive end. Because I don't know, like, he's just not, to me, he's not the quickest laterally. Like, that's probably the biggest concern that I have. He's also not someone like, I like when he gets downhill, like when he's able to, you know, create as a secondary creator and get downhill and make decisions and his decision making. Like, I thought all of that was very, very good. But then I also have my questions, is like, all right, how much is he actually going to get to the rim? Like, to me, he's not overly explosive. Like, he doesn't have a great first step. He could probably take advantage of certain players who are, you know, who overclose out on him because he's a knockdown shooter. Like, he'll probably run into that a few different times throughout his pro career. But I just don't know, like, if he's just consistently taking dudes off the dribble and how limited he actually is in that aspect. Because he has an okay handle. It's not great. It's not terrible. But I am very much with you in the sense, like, I also had him six on mine. He's more than just a shooter, too. Like, I think that goes to my point that I just, like, he's a very good decision maker. He's a very good connector. Like, he'll set screens. He'll involve himself in the game in that way off the ball. And that's something that I like a lot about him. He's not just a guy who's just going to, you know, sit on the perimeter and wait for him to get the ball. Like, he's a guy who's going to be active and move within the offense. And so that's something that I like a lot about him. But I just have questions about him athletically. And then kind of like, I don't ever expect him to be like a primary creator. Like, I don't think that's the ceiling for him. Wrote in my notes that I think he feels more of like a 3-and-D connector. Like, he's going to be a guy that connects the offense together, but I don't know how much of like a 3-level scoring potential we'll see from him as a pro. Like, I see it more of like, yeah, one, two dribble pull up. He can maybe get to the rim a few different times, but I don't know how consistent it'll actually be. And so those are just some questions that I have with him, but so I love everything that he does on a basketball court, just from like a team perspective. Like, he knows how to play in a team environment, in a team setting. Like, he knows his role and he very much excels at his role. And so he's someone that I like a lot. And again, he's only, you know, 19 years old. And so he's going to improve over time. Maybe he does improve some of that stuff. And maybe I am, wrong in, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever. But he's definitely going to be a guy that I'm rooting for, because he is someone who, just from the moment you put on the tape, he's someone that definitely pops off in the ways that you want him to this stage of his college career. Because, like, he plays like a 4-year guy.
He absolutely pops off the tape, and he does play like a 4-year guy. He's ahead of his time mentally with the game. He has a great feel for the game. But when you talk about as a connector, the one thing I love about him is he's a great shooter, but he doesn't settle for threes. A lot of young, great shooters just settle for threes. He attacks those closeouts. He keeps people off balance. That's how he gets in the lane so well, is because they never know. Is he going to actually shoot it, or is he going to come off the triple threat, give me a jab step, go to the hoop, ball fake, go to the hoop? He does that and mixes that up so well. And he'll also rotate the ball. The ball doesn't just stop and he chuck it up or drive. He'll rotate it, swing the ball. And that's the thing about him and the other guy that may go number one overall, is they really play for each other, and they're very unselfish in that way. And when we talk about him defensively, his foot speed is an issue, but because he's so smart, he plays the angles extremely well. So he doesn't get destroyed off the dribble like you think it would for how slow his feet are, because he's so cerebral. And he's a legit 217 pounds. So when people hit into him, they just stop. Like, he's really strong. So I really like Con Knipple. So we both had him number six. Who'd you have number five?
I had Trey Johnson.
Oh, Trey Johnson from Texas.
I didn't even go over my number eight. I forgot about that.
You skipped your number eight.
I'm planting my flag here, man. I like Derek Queen.
Let's go back to number eight really quick. So I don't have Derek Queen yet in my top 10. Tell me why you like Derek Queen. What do you like about him?
I am a sucker for bigs who are good at passing. And he's someone that, like, when you get him in, like, again, for him, I think the biggest challenge is he's not athletic at all.
Right. Right.
Like, that's my biggest, like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have him number eight because of this. Like, he's not 7'1", 7'2". But the thing that I like about him, like, he's improved. His shooting touch, I think, like, he has an okay shooting touch from, like, the in-between game. Most of what he does is like back to the basket. And so, like, again, maybe that's not the reason why I should have him number eight, but I think the reason why I have him number eight is just because I love how much, like, the 2.2 assists on the screen does not at all do him justice. Like, I think he has an excellent feel for the game. Like, he's very good at spotting open cutters and spotting, you know, players from beyond the arc. And he's very reactive in that way. Something else that I like about him a lot too is, like, he's very strong. Like, when he puts his shoulder into you in the post, like, he's most likely gonna dislodge you from him. Like, he's very strong in that aspect. But I just love his feel. Like, just when you and he's pretty mobile for a guy who's, you know, 6'10", 246. At least, again, I don't know how accurate these measurements are. That feels about right for him, but.
Let me ask you this. So he can score at the college level because he's physically stronger than most of the guys that he plays against, right? He's very crafty as well, has a great feel for the game, nice jump hook package, excellent touch around the rim. As you see, he shoots close to 60% from the field, which is mainly in right underneath the basket where he plants his flag. And he can rebound the basketball because he's so physical. What traits of his, to put him in the top 10, do you think translate to the NBA? Because he's a limited athlete. We definitely.
I would say his passing and his low post scoring ability. Like, he's more of like a throwback old school. Like, he's very good, but he has very good footwork. And not saying that, like, we need to bring that back in the NBA, but I think those are two skills that could translate for him from being, like, you know, 6'10", 6'11", however tall he actually is. Those are the two translatable. And, like, he's also, like, solid defensively just where he positions himself.
So conversely, though, what I'm hearing is that he's an old school big that's not athletic, thrown into a pace and space five out type of NBA. That's what I heard you say.
To some extent.
So I'm not saying you're wrong. Don't take it that way. I'm not saying you're wrong. He may be.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I need to see more tape of him against more, you know, better teams and competition, because
that's the crux of it. That's the crux of most of these guys. But yes, because I want to see them do it against, like, he was awesome against, like, Villanova, for example, but I want to see him do it more consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see him do it more consistently. I want to see how pace plays a factor into him defensively, offensively, his ability to operate and score and help your team in that way. So I'm very interested. Now, he can help you. Like you said, he can score on the block. He can rebound. He's going to be in the right place. He's a heady player, and he can facilitate a little bit. So I am interested. He's just outside of my top 10. I don't think I have him in the top 15 at the moment. He may be, maybe he might be 13th or 14th in the future for me, but I need to see it against better competition. But I do understand it, and I do see where you have it. I'm going to move us along to number five, Trey Johnson, on your board. And let's talk about that. You have him at five. Why do you like Trey Johnson at five?
I think, obviously the three-level scoring, that's something that just immediately pops off the page. Like, he is a dynamite score in a dynamite shooter. Like, he can get hot, and he can get hot bunches, as you can see by the 21.2 points per game on the screen. Like,
as a freshman.
Yeah, as a freshman. I think for him, too, like, something that I do like about him is his decision-making. Like, I think he's not... I mean, there might be a couple times here and there, depending on how like hot he is, that he will force shots. But I think he also plays within the flow of like what they're trying to do offensively. And sometimes just the ball finds him in the right moment, and he's able to get up a shot. Defensively, is something that I really like from him too. Like, he's always, it feels like to me, like he's always in the right positions, and he knows, like, he's always like, you know, like you can see like talking to teammates and whatnot, he communicating. Like where to be on the floor at a given time. Like, to me, he's also like 6'6", 190. I don't know if that does him enough justice, because I do think he is like a good like 6'7", 6'8". But I also do think he's stronger than, you know, 190. At least again from the initial games that I've watched. I know it's against lower level competition, but
so
it's against competition nonetheless. But I think the three-level scoring, like in today's NBA, you want three-level scoring, especially from a guy from a wing like him. I don't know why it says point guard on the screen. He's definitely not a point guard.
He actually is, though. He can. He does both. He's an on-ball guard. Yes. He can facilitate and run your offense and initiate. He's good enough ball handler to do that. He does it quite often, but he's also an off-ball guard, too. He's a combo guard. So he can play on ball.
I would say he's more of a combo guard than like a point forward than a point guard.
But that's because he can score the way he does. He's the leading scorer in the SEC as a freshman. He's number two on my board. The way he's played to start the season, we're not just talking about his ability to score. The way he carries himself, he's the leader of that team. They all rally to him. Anytime there's a stoppage in play, he's rallying the troops. He's telling people what needs to happen. He's the coach on the floor. Trey Johnson, to me, is going to be one of these guys that goes way higher than people realize, because he's not only does he have the tangible athletic traits, but he's got the intangibles as well. He's a leader, to use Ethan's words, he's an alpha. He's the alpha guy. He's the alpha guy. Doesn't back down from a challenge. He's a knockdown shooter as well, man. He can shoot the cover off the ball. And he's fast in the open court. Fast. Now, one of the things and opportunities he has to improve on is when he's shooting on the move from the three-point line, he has a bad tendency to over-rotate his lower half to where his right leg rotates from right to left, and it can swing off his motion to shoot. When he sets his feet and he goes straight up and down, he's just a knockdown shooter from anywhere on the court. It doesn't matter how deep it is. He's just a knockdown shooter. And he'll do it from the mid-range. He'll do it from the outside. He can get all the way to the basket. The two assists per game do not illustrate how well he keeps the ball moving for that team and initiate offense for that team. It's very deceiving that he only has two assists per game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
But
that goes in like the decision making part of it. Again, I just don't like. Again, when I think of point guard, I mean, he does run that offense,
right? But he's not the take you off the dribble, dropping dimes Isaiah Stevens type. I get what you're saying for sure.
Yeah. Like, I think of him more of like, I'm not good with comparisons.
No, there's not really a good comparison for him, to be honest.
Yeah, like, that, again, like, his decision-making I do like a lot, but it's, for him, like, some of these other guys, I want to see them. They recently played someone good, right? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I've watched so many games, though, I can't remember which game we're referring to, but yeah, he's actually right. He's very, you know, he's played very well. I'll tell you what, I watched one game where he didn't do much in the first half. They were playing very physical with him. I actually did a breakdown on it. It was against Mississippi Valley State, and their on ball and ball off ball pressure was superb for a small college. and it really took him out of his game in the first half. In the second half, he lit them up. He was unguardable in the second half. And I just thought it was very telling for his makeup as a young player to be this highly touted guy. I play at a big school, and to have that kind of first half and not to let it bother him the whole game, to come back, that just shows a lot about his heart, a lot about his resilience and his leadership as a freshman. So I'm really high on Trey Johnson. I have him number two on my board overall. My number five is Dylan Harper for Rutgers. He is the point guard. He is extremely tall for a point guard, 6'6", just like Trey Johnson. So just real quick, people had Dylan Harper listed at 6'8" coming out of high school. He's not 6'8". But he's 6'6". Really? Yeah, they did. But he's 215. He's really sturdy. Now, I know comparisons aren't my thing, and I don't like comparisons, but who he reminds me of a lot is the transfer into Arkansas. DJ Wagner is who he reminds me of. And the reason why I say that, as a freshman, he's having a lot of the same struggles that DJ is. He's a good athlete. He's strong. He can put the ball on the floor, but his processing's a bit slow. When to get his shots is a bit off, and his form on his jumper, just like Wagner's, needs a lot of work. I have grave concerns about Dylan Harper because he was my number two for a while coming out of the early season, like the preseason rankings. He was my second guy in the big board, but he's fallen all the way down to number five for me because of the concerns with his jump shot, like his elbows out a little bit. His follow through and his release point is very low.
Yeah.
But he can get to the rack. He can facilitate. He's got good vision, right? I think the issue with his passing is more the location of his passes than his vision. He sees it, but he needs to get better with his pinpoint accuracy. But he's good defensively as well. He uses his long wingspan and his height and weight well as a point of attack defender. I'm a little concerned about how that field goal percentage in the paint translates in the NBA against better athletes, because they haven't really played competition that's going to be able to limit him as a guard, that big of a guard in the paint. What do you think about Dylan Harper? Where do you have him on your big board?
Did you watch the Kennesaw game yesterday?
I did not.
Okay, I watched that. That was another one that I watched this morning. There was something that stuck out to me that was a little bit of a concern that wasn't what it, like, I am completely with you on the shot and the passing. Like, I do think, I think I'm probably a little bit higher on his processing speed, but I do think there's some, like, accuracy concerns to some extent with his passing. But the thing that stuck out to me was a couple of things. At least at the point of attack yesterday, like, Kennesaw, it was their first road game of the season. So, like, yeah, Kennesaw is probably the best team that they've faced all season. Again, not incredible competition, but competition nonetheless. They lost the game. But
right.
He got ate up on screens more than, like, he did, to me, like, he doesn't, his screen nav isn't that good.
Yeah.
Or at least it wasn't as good as I was expecting it to be, or at least, like, when I watched the first half against Merrimack, like, that was like, okay, you can see it there.
Right.
But in this game, in this environment, I was, like, a little bit disappointed in that sense, to where, to me, I don't feel like he snakes around it that well. Like, he doesn't sink his hips. He doesn't, like,
it's a fundamentals issue. Yeah. It's a fundamentals issue. Yeah.
And so, like, he was a little, like, too tall when he was trying to navigate those screens. And then something else that, again, this can happen on a possession-by-possession basis with anyone, not just him. But the communication defensively, I don't think, was the best. Like, there were times where they were, like, miscommunicating, like, off screens, whether it was, like, switching or whatever the case was. And it led to some open Kennesaw baskets, and he was at the crux of it. And so that's where it was, like, I have some general concern. I mean, again, more so questions because it's still early in the season. But, like, is this going to be a a consistent issue, and like, how does that affect things over the course of the season for them and him as a prospect if these things continue to happen? Again, it's just one game.
Right.
But those were things that like stuck out to me. Just like some just parts of his game. Like, he was a guy who defended 94 feet. He was a guy who, like, the effort was there for the most part defensively, but there was some communication stuff. There was some stuff where, like, he would just die on screens, and it's just like, you're 6'5". Yeah, like, you're 6'5", 215. Like, you're a strong guy. You have a good, like, physical build. Like, I don't think you should be eaten up this easily.
No, but but it's because, so when we talk about fundamentals, just for the audience, when I say it's a fundamental thing, whenever you're fighting over a screen, there's two ways to do it, right? So if the screen comes, you get up as close as you can to the ball handler. You get your left foot, if it's on the left side, up above the screen, and you slide across. If it's on the right side, you get your right foot up above the screen, and you slide across and maintain guarding position. Or conversely, if you're going to trail, you have to lock onto the hip of the ball handler, and you have to get that right foot, if it's on the left side, around so you're in trail and you don't get wiped out on the screen. So it's a footwork thing. It's not a, he's not athletic enough to do it. It's not that he doesn't have the build to do it, like he can't bend his knees to be in a stance. It's more the foot placement of it. And that's something in college under a coach like Rick Pitino, they're going to coach out of him eventually. I guarantee you by the end of the season, he won't be navigating those screens so poorly by the end of the season. I can almost guarantee you that.
Patino's at St. John's, man.
Is not St. John's. Oh, jeez.
Correct. No, but I know what you mean. Like, that is, but even like there were a couple times, again, this is, I might be misremembering a little bit, but even like just going under screen, he wasn't getting through them at least as well as I would like him to be.
Yeah.
But, or not as I would like him to be, but like, you know what I mean? Just
right.
If I'm looking at it from like a pure valuation standpoint.
No, absolutely. So
I had him three, by the way.
So you had him third on your list. I'll go to my fourth. My fourth on my list is Igor Denman. Igor Denman is the 6'9 Russian point guard. When you talk about the ability to facilitate, wow, can he pass the basketball? That dude is really good at passing the basketball, and he's a knockdown shooter. Not just stand still, catch and shoots, but off the dribble as well. He is a nightmare to hit, to deal with. His BYU team, they have one other really good player, and that's about it. But he's scary, dude. He's that size, that length, the ability to handle the way he does. And it's not even really that he overhandles or over dribbles. He's got a really nice hezzy. He utilizes that hezzy well, snakes off screens well, and he can throw lobs, he can throw bounce passes, he can facilitate in transition. He's not that great at defense, but he's really good in the passing lanes because of his length and athleticism. But man, he's a nightmare offensively to deal with. What are your thoughts on Igor, and where'd you have him on your board?
Let me just say this right now so people don't get mad at me after they see my piece of crap board. I shifted my top four, or at least not top four. I didn't shift Cooper Flag around, whoever that guy is. I shifted two through four around, like, probably no less than a handful of times. I actually ended up with Igor too. And I'm actually, like, again, some of it is, like, and this is so early in the season, and BYU's played nobody. So take so much of what I'm about to say, or so much of what you've seen so far, with the lightest grain of salt the world's ever seen.
Just a pinch.
Yeah, just a pinch. But the passing ability, the accuracy of the passes.
Yes.
The instinctual passing. We've talked about it before with a certain guy named Isaiah Steven. Is that how you say it? Isaiah Stevens?
I think he's Miami Heat's own Isaiah Stevens.
He might be. If they call him up.
Don't break my heart like that.
Listen, I'm just preparing you for the worst.
Back to Igor.
Back to Igor Demine. The thing with him, like, he makes multiple reads at once. Like, we've talked about that with Isaiah Stevens, like, several different times. Like, he knows how to read, you know, tag defenders, guys who are multiple passes away, this, that, and yet. Like, he knows how to read that stuff. And I think with the sense that I get with Igor, like, he's a guy who can do the exact same thing, and he's bigger at 6'9". To me, he moves kind of funny, like, just him running. Like, I don't know why. He just moves funny, but, like,
right.
To me, I think I'm higher on his defense than you are.
Yeah, probably, because I'm not very high on it. Off ball, I am, though. He's got good off ball instincts.
That's what I was about to say. On ball, it's a little shaky here or there.
Right.
Off ball, I loved what I saw defensively. Like, he knows how to position himself. He knows how to be in at the right time. Like,
right.
I think he's good in the passing lanes. I think he had one block against Idaho where he literally shoved the dude. He literally shoved the ball back in the dude's face. as he went up for a shot, like I think that part of his game that I like a lot. And I think he can be a really good team defender.
Where did you have him on your board?
2.
Oh, okay. Oh, he was your number 2 overall. Okay.
Again, I said I shifted 2 through 4 around like several different times.
I got
it's
you.
So close.
Yeah.
It's so close.
Like, no.
It's not a big gap between 2 through 4 in my mind. I went a little bit. Again, this is where I talked. Like, I prefaced by saying, like, it's a little controversial in some sense.
Right.
It's probably gonna. I'm probably gonna have an egg on my face. Once June comes, but that's neither here nor there.
This is nobody's gonna remember this big board by June. Like, nobody's gonna remember. It's way too early to even nail any of this stuff down. It's getting a little chippy in that UConn game. A little scuffle just broke out.
I'm seeing it now.
So you had Trey Jones 3rd. I had Trey Jones 3rd.
You mean John Johnson?
Trey Johnson. Jeez. I gotta stop looking at the TV. So I had Trey Johnson 3rd. Your 4th is Ace Bailey. I had Ace Bailey as my number 2 overall. And I'm going to tell you why.
I thought you said you had Trey 2.
I had Trey 3. I apologize. I misspoke.
Okay.
I misremembered in my old age. But I have Ace Bailey number 2. And I'm going to tell you why I have Ace Bailey number 2. He's 6'10". He's 200 pounds. He's got pogo sticks for legs.
Yeah.
He rebounds. He blocks shots. He has an amazing touch around the basket. And he is a knockdown shooter from anywhere on the court. Anywhere. Whenever I tell you, I don't take this lightly. I'm not saying he's these players. So don't get started on that. But the shooting ability, the ability for a guy that size to square his feet up quick as a hiccup, no matter what body position he's in, and square his shoulders and shoot, is very similar to people like Carmelo Anthony. Very similar to people like Kevin Durant. And I don't take that lightly when I say that. Now, the rest of the game, he doesn't have their handles. He doesn't have their frame in terms of, like, size. He's like, he's not thick as Carmelo. He's not as good off the dribble as either one of those two guys. But just the ability to dot his feet and get right into his jump shot on balance and bury it from anywhere is just like those guys. He's a scary offensive talent. Scary offensive talent. He's also a good defender as well. I have concerns. He's very light in the pants. He's going to have to really work on his strength, but he's also very inflexible. Even though he's a fluid mover, he doesn't bend his knees well. That doesn't bode well for his long-term health. He could have knee problems. He could have all kind of ankle issues or Achilles issues from being a very upright athlete like that. He needs to work on his flexibility. He needs to work on his strength. He needs to work on his ball handling. But those are the only 3 things that I see as holes in his game. I'm very, very high on Ace Bailey. And I wasn't. I had Dylan Harper higher than him to start. I'm very, very high on him now. What are your thoughts on Ace Bailey?
This is where I get angry at the measurement. Are we sure he's 6'10"?
He's every bit of it with long arms. He's tall, dude, and he's long.
Maybe I'm just seeing shit wrong, which is very possible. I think he's like the same size as Dylan Harper.
He's not. He's definitely not.
He definitely looks like a solid 6'7" to me. That's neither here nor there.
Right.
Maybe I just watched the wrong game or saw the wrong. Maybe I'm just there. That's where I'm at. The concerns that you had is the reason why I had him at 4. In addition to, I just do not trust his ability. He's very awesome around the rim. I don't trust his ability to get to the rim off the dribble, like, at all.
Right.
That's probably, like, the big, like, he's a very good tough shot maker.
Oh, yeah.
But to some extent, he takes too many tough shots for my liking. But also, that's, to some extent, a comfort thing. Like, you don't want to completely weed that stuff out of a guy's game if he's very comfortable with it.
Right.
For someone of his size, again, I just don't think he's 6'10". Maybe I'm just – if I turn on the tape for another game, maybe I'll see it. I just did not see it when I watched the Kennesaw tape.
Right.
And the other thing that – the here's my question with about him with you.
Sure.
There are specific attempts that he takes, like spot-up attempts. There are a couple times where I'm completely with you. Like, if you leave him open and if he's balanced, he is just completely dead out. Like, no matter where he's at on the floor. Like, that one of the first things I wrote down when I watched him was just that. But is there an inconsistent release speed with him? Or maybe I'm just seeing it wrong. Like, to me, there are certain times where, like, you know, he'll be in rhythm and he'll, like, it'll be a half a second, whole second, whatever. And then there's other times where it's like a nanosecond. He just gets it off as quick as he possibly can once he sees a contested defender. And not to say he won't make it, but there's inconsistent results. Like, I feel like there's some times where he's sped up is what I'm trying to say.
You're 100% right on that. You're 100% right on that. And that's just from him being young. And he sees the greats do it. So, like, if he sees Durant do it, he sees Melo do it, he sees Steph Curry do it. You know what I mean? It's just him young. He practices that stuff. And so when he gets into a game, he doesn't quite have the feel yet that he doesn't need to be that rushed. So I agree with that. But that's all 100%. Very minor. It's all very 100%. Minor to me.
I think it's minor, too, but... that was just something that popped off to me where it was just.
But like, here's why I'll say it's minor to me, though, Matt. He's shooting 42% from three, and he's shooting like 40, almost, he's shooting like 50 some odd percent from the field.
Well, no, I'm saying like that's, I feel like it could be greater if that wasn't happening, but I do think it's.
But that's something he'll learn as he matures. Yes.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, I think that's going to, you know, improve over time, but that was just something that was like. Like, I just found it interesting.
Absolutely.
Again, I have a whole lot of questions about his ability to get to the rim and his ability to create separation.
Right.
And not saying he can't do it. Again, so early in the season. He's going to be in a very physical Big Ten conference.
Yep.
Can't wait. So, yeah, that's going to be like, I'm really going to be interested to see how he plays there. Again, I don't know why they list him as a point guard.
That doesn't make any sense. He's not a point guard. He's a forward. He's a forward. Yeah, for sure. but let's talk about our number one pick. The big reveal, the thing that everybody's been waiting for. Who do we have? Possibly number one overall is Cooper Flagg. Not Donovan Dent? Yeah, and it's not Donovan Dent.
No, I said Will Riley.
Will Riley? No, not Will Riley. Cooper Flagg from your Duke Blue Devils, number one on Matt and I's big board. He is the real deal, man. Complete player. Very unselfish player. Maybe to a fault. He doesn't really show that aggressiveness that you would seek out of a number one overall pick. The generational stuff may be a little bit overblown. Wemby's generational, right? Like, he's once in a generation type talent. Cooper Flagg is an excellent player, definitely deserves to be number one pick. Can shoot the ball, can handle the ball. His handles need to get tighter, though, if he's going to go to the next level and handle like that. But he can shoot on the move. He can shoot off the catch. He can attack the basket. He can rebound. He can play passing lanes. He can facilitate. I just think he's a great teammate as well. I like the guy. I like his game. What are your thoughts on Cooper Flagg?
The defensive ability is so, like, his ability to block shots. And his just, to me, I think he has a, like, I know Major's not in the audience right now. I know Major watched the Arizona game and said that he didn't have a high motor. Or at least, like, the effort stuff wasn't there all the time. Not to call Major out or anything, but, like, to me, at least in the games that I've watched, like, I wasn't, like, super duper locked in to Flagg specifically during that Arizona game. But to me, just in general, like, I think he does have, like, a high motor when it comes to the rebounding, when it comes to doing everything, the winning basketball plays on the floor. Like, I do agree that he needs to improve his handle, and I think that's something that will improve over time. How do you feel about his jump shooting?
I like his jump shot. I think he's got a very nice jump shot. Now, there's some goofy footwork at times that he needs to clean up. He takes some weird, like, hop, like, big plodding hop to get into his J sometimes. He just needs to calm his feet a little bit and square his shoulders, but I just think that's something that he's young and he'll iron out.
I'm with you, but I had similar thoughts. But no, man, I love his game. He's awesome defensively. I am with you with the generational stuff. I don't think he's quite generational. I also just think we just throw that term too loosely.
Yes.
In today's day and age, not to say he won't be a great player. I mean, people were talking about him being the best player on the select team when he wasn't even in college yet. Like, he didn't even step foot at Duke yet, and he was better on a same. He was the best player on a team with, like, Jaime Jaquez, all those guys. And so he's 19. Like, he's definitely going to be, you know, grown into his body in addition to, you know, growing his game and, like, his competitive nature. To me, he's quiet to some extent. Like, he's not, like, he's fiery.
Right.
But to me, like, I think he's so unbelievably competitive when you watch him on the floor. At least more, like, he's always calm and cool. But he's just, like, a fire. Like, he's just a ruthless competitor.
Absolutely. And here's what I want to say to Major Money, not to call Major out or anything. The NBA players who he played with said the thing that stands out to them the most is his work ethic.
I think he was just saying, like, in that specific game where, like, the, like, him not diving for loose balls or the effort and whatnot. But
right.
Again, that's one game. That's fine. I'm extrapolating games from Ace Bailey about him being, like, 6'2".
That's right. Ace Bailey's only 6'2". That's right.
Yeah, like, you know, it's just one game really in the season. But
no.
Everything that I've seen from Cooper so far has been good. And it, again, not a fucking point guard. Please, come on, Fanspo.
Yeah, I don't know why Fanspo's calling every single player a point guard.
Scroll down. I want to see, like, how they have some of these guys.
Kamala Watch is fine. Queen is fine. But, yeah, Edgecombe isn't a point guard either.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah. But anyway.
Right, so, didn't have Liam McNeely as a point guard.
So guys, real quick, before we get out of here, because this has been an hour long thing. Just want to thank you for stopping by. Thank you for watching on all the social media and YouTube channels that we're going to put this on. This draft class is extremely deep. It's going to be a long draft evaluation process. These big boards are fluid. We're going to do this again. We're going to talk about some of the other prospects outside of our top 10 as well. In the future, we're going to save Liam McNeely for another day.
I don't know how he's doing right now, but by God, was I disappointed.
I said another day, Matt.
I'm just saying.
You gotta put the hook in there so they come back.
You're not gonna be hearing me talk about this this Memphis game, folks, in the future when it comes to Liam McNeely. But we'll get to it in the future. We'll get to it in the future.
All right. Well, that is it for us today, guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks for stopping by.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.